We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land out there. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's hot outside, 89 degrees, 94 degrees heat index, 70 degrees Fahrenheit dew point, humidity is 53%, winds are out of the south, southwest at 12 miles an hour with gusts up to 18. Well, before I get to my awesome guest that I got on today, I want to ask all my listeners for a couple of favors. I have a grandson in the Marines, and my son, daughter-in-law, and nephew are all veterans in the military, amongst myself. Give any veteran or current service member or serviceman or woman a call today. Yesterday hurt, so also my second favor is I want everybody to say a prayer for him. And, you know, you guys all know that I'm a veteran. I'm all about veterans and our military. They're all heroes to me. So I'm just asking a favor for you guys today. Well, today my special guest is Dr. Alvin Baumwart from Highland Veterinary Clinic over in Arapahoe up there between Clinton and Arapahoe on the highway there right before you get to Western Equipment there, John Deere. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And thank you a million for coming on today. You just been mentioned in the OSU News with your Distinguished 2021 Alumni Award. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And you are also a retired colonel with 37 years in the U.S. Army Veterinarian Corps. And you got, if I got that right, 38 years at the Highland Veterinary Clinic. Is that all correct?
Yes, that's actually 40 here, but that's close enough.
Close enough. Who's counting the years after that? Well, thank you again for being on today. And if anybody's got any questions that they would like to ask the good doctor, you can text into the KECO Ag line at 580-225-9697. Doctor, you were in the military for 37 years, and I haven't been around any of the veterinarian side in the military. I was in the artillery and infantry, been around the Air Force part with my son and daughter-in-law being in there. And what exactly did you do in there? Can you help us out there a little bit?
Well, I was very fortunate to get into veterinary school. I was going to be drafted. I was on the tail end of the draft. I was going to be drafted. I got into veterinary school. So the Army offered me a scholarship to go through veterinary school, pay my way, so on. And in return, I would owe them 4 years, in which I served out at Fort Bragg, and I was very fortunate to have a very, very good experience while I was out there at Fort Bragg for 4 years. After that time, then we came back home. My wife, Donna, and I came back home with our children. And our longtime goal was to come back and set up a practice here. So while I was in the military for 4 years on active duty, I worked as I got to work with some wonderful people in Special Forces. So after that period of time, I hung up my hat, I hung up my uniform, and they found me. They came back and recruited me to go into the reserve and in the National Guard, and I was a National Guard veterinarian for quite a few years, and then ended up as a reservist. So at first, on my first tour on active duty, I got to see and do a lot of things with animals and very little food inspection. But on the tail end, on the back end, the big part of veterinarians' duties and responsibilities in the military is food procurement and making sure the food chains and water chain stays healthy, keeps our soldiers healthy. Now, there are veterinarians that do take care of service dogs, military working dogs. We actually have horses in a couple of establishments that we're still looking at, Fort Sill being one of those.
Yep.
So we do mainly food inspection and food procurement, food safety, which that's what I did the tail end of my career. So I was very lucky in that. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, it does. See, that's the part I didn't know, because when you think veterinarian, you think working on animals. And there's another part to it that you just mentioned, you know, the making sure the food that the soldiers are eating and the water, as you say, you know, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Thank you for that information. Do you have any one or two stories that stick out that have hung with you during your 37 years?
Well, I was lucky enough to be called up and go to the desert and served over there with some wonderful people. We were the first reserve unit, first veterinary unit at all that was called up post 9/11. So we were activated. That brings back far-reaching memories. We were the ones that established the supply chains. We had to establish new contacts, make sure security was in place, and I got a frequent flyer mileage. I could get on any plane anywhere, and I traveled and visited. Lucky enough, I was very fortunate to travel and visited, I don't know, 10 or 12 different countries. So all those stands, Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan, all those Pakistan, all those stands over there I got to visit. And so it was, that was very enlightening to me. I was kind of like Alan Jackson. I didn't know the difference between Iraq and Iran when I first started to go.
Well, I learned what Iraq was when I went to Desert Storm, so I know what you mean. And I got frequent flyer miles, but some of them wasn't good. So,
yes, sir. And we appreciate what you did, Jimmy.
Well, we appreciate all veterans, including you and the ones that gave it all, and especially those ones that gave it all yesterday. I'm not political about that, but we lost some good soldiers yesterday.
Absolutely.
Do you have a minute? Our news director is wanting to know. I don't know if you caught that part at the end of the news there, where you was on hold. What about the horse medicine? What do you got to say about do you have anything to add to what they said on the news a while ago about ivermectin?
Yes, ivermectin has had some good press, bad press. It is not labeled, so we as veterinarians, physicians, nurses, all those that are in the medical field with a title behind us, have an obligation to stay within the guidelines of what's safe and not safe. And what's deemed safe is what's on the label and what research tells us. And we have to go by the science. Unfortunately, there's just a lot of opinions out there. And
right.
So when people take opinions and they start relying on opinions rather than scientific advice, then people, and I would tell you that probably most of these were overused. They were probably given in toxic levels. I would say that there is a potential for anything to be reactive and have reactions to it. But gosh, I've heard stories of people going down to farm and ranch stores and getting equine oral paste and using that. Well, I don't know if people are real smart about checking dosages, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't be using things that they really don't know what they're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, like I said, it's for horses and cattle and whatever other animals, and so this ain't grandpa's remedy, so or grandma's remedy.
Well, there have been some, I'm trying to think of the term, where there are testimonials given in foreign countries where Ivomec has worked, and that's where we really start to get vague, because that has to be researched with, and unfortunately, the world was looking for a quick answer, and we weren't willing to be patient to look for research, and I understand that. So we get caught up, and unfortunately, we get to relying on Facebook and Google and some of these crazy things out there rather than relying on science and people that have MDs and doctors' names and RNs and nurse practitioners behind their name, that type of thing that we have to rely on.
Right. Well, that's great. So did you, thank you for that information also. During your military, we're on the military side, and here in just a little bit, we'll get to your civilian side. What, I guess the question I'm asking, did you actually ever work on any animals while you were in the military?
Oh yes, sir.
Cool.
Yes, sir. And, military working dogs, crowd dispersion dogs, demolition response dogs. Oh, yes. We were responsible because they were being flown over. What was interesting when we went into Afghanistan is we were setting up before Iraq was, we went into Iraq, and we used dogs for several things. Crowd dispersion, they were terrified. The people that they have a lot of respect for dogs.
Yeah.
And part of that was rabies is a feared disease over there, so they connotate a dog with rabies, and so a dog biting them, they were feared of that. They have a lot of fear of dogs, so we could use them to our benefit a whole lot. They had a lot of respect for dogs.
Well, they and the dogs you were around, they must have been some hybrid, awesome animals.
Yes, at one time in my military career, we used to say that there was anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 investment in their training and in all the things that lead them up before they can actually be qualified to go over and do the things that they do. So tremendous investment, not just in money, but in time also.
Right. Yeah. I don't have $30,000 in my dog, but I can tell you that dog and my wife Sandy and I own, she's everything to us. She's a hunting dog, but she's also our best friend at home, and it doesn't take long, and you can put thousands of dollars, and there's a lot. She's 8 years old, and we're still training her on some stuff. It's not that she's wild and crazy, but she's wanting to learn, and she's 8 years old, and she's still learning. So dogs are awesome animals.
And you know what's funny about that, Jimmy, is they're teaching you something, too.
Yes, they are. They're teaching me that money doesn't mean nothing when it comes to your best friend. So, and I think that's why there's so many small animal doctors now, instead of, not because of the money, it's because the overflow
of the bond.
The overflow of people that have animals, and they'll do anything in the world to keep them healthy and alive. And
in that same respect, one of the fallouts that we have seen, one of the windfalls, I guess, if you'd think of it, with the pandemic, is that people were staying at home. So people have paid more attention to their animals. Adoption is up. Pet ownership is up. And people are really caring about their animals. So that's a windfall. That's a positive that's come out of that for us as veterinarians.
Yeah, it's a positive. And We've mentioned it a few times already, talking with you about our veterans. You're one, I'm one, and service dogs for veterans after they get out. Is, you know, my nephew was in the Marines for 8 years, and he has a service dog. You know, he needs it because, you know, he spent three tours in Afghanistan and a tour in Iraq, and he's got a service dog, and he doesn't go nowhere without her.
Yes, and that's why I was saying our animals can teach us something. And I'll tell you, patience, unconditioned love, unconditional love. I'll tell you those things. I used to have a thing on my refrigerator that my kid stole from me. It was a Aussie dog, and it says, "God help me to be the man that my dog thinks I am."
Yep, that's a good one. Oh, well, Doc, can you hang on for just a few minutes and let me do a break? And we got a live remote going, and in about 3 or 4 minutes, I'll be back with you. I'm going to put you on hold.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We are back from the break, and I think Sean Wilson might be on there with me.
There you go, thinking again.
Hey, this is a first for me. I got you on the phone. I got my guest on the phone, and so far, so good. Man. So don't mess this up, Sean.
Man, I'm going to try real hard, too, Jimmy. That's your job, crying out loud. Again, we are here at LaDonna's Wine and Spirits, and they are at 822 West 3rd Street here in Elk City, celebrating 2 decades, 20 years of business here in Elk City. Started back in 2001 over by Circle A Western, then they bought the old McKesson Western Ware building, and they are here since 2015. But 20 years serving Western Oklahoma. Here's what they got going on, folks. They've got a lot of giveaways going on here. If you buy any Tito's product, you're registered to win a Tito's guitar. They're going to be given away after end of business tomorrow. You do not have to be present to win. They'll call you. Also, any $10 purchase gets you in a drawing to win a real nice cornhole set here from Maker's Mark Whiskey. So, again, a lot of things happening here, including free T-shirts, hats, koozies. Come on in and say thank you for being in business, and let them say thank you for your business for the last 20 years. Again, they also...
I'm back on the air, and Sean left us, and we got we had a phone disconnection with the good doc, and we're going to get him back on the air here in just a second. Sorry, but well, even as total beef cow numbers decline, Canada's total cattle inventory increased for the first time in 4 years on July 1st.
See if he's there.
Oh. Doc?
Okay, Jimmy.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. You hung up.
No, I wasn't even holding my phone.
Well, I'm blaming you anyway.
Okay. Well, you gonna let me finish or what?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. Are we on right now?
Yeah. You're live, buddy.
Well, good, buddy. I'm alive. That is great.
We're gonna call this the Sean and Jimmy Comedy Hour.
Well, you do the work of 30 men, Larry, Moe, and Curly. But nonetheless, we are here as honest, light, and spirit. And again, we are inviting everybody to come down and be a part of this 20-year celebration. It's today and tomorrow. Here at 12:30, we're going to be doing a ribbon cutting with Elk City Chamber of Commerce. Susie Kepp and them are here already. So we're going to be doing that. But if you get a chance between now and end of close tomorrow, come on in and help celebrate LaDonna's Wine and Spirits' 20th anniversary right here at 822 West 3rd Street in Elk City. They've got a lot of prizes to register for. They've got a lot of free giveaways. So come on in while they last and tell them we appreciate them lasting 20 years right here at LaDonna's Wine and Spirits, 822 West 3rd Street in Elk City. I'll talk to you again in a little bit, Mr. Yenny.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Have a good one.
You too, man.
Don't forget, today till tomorrow is the sheep and goat auction at Hobart Stockyards, and they are taking consignments till right now. First call, first to sale. We'll consign all day. Start receiving Friday at noon till 7 tonight, and Saturday till 7:30 in the morning, and starts the noon. The sale starts at noon, so go on down there if you got any questions. Call 580-726-3306 or get a hold of Rex Fleming down at the Hobart Stockyards. And we're going to take a break and be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 20th. 1,693 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 430, brought 184.50. 7 at 504, brought 176.50. 10 at 561, brought 168.50. 14 at 599, brought 143. 34 at 611, brought 163.75. 13 at 692, brought 143.25. 5 head of heifers at 311, brought 163. 8 at 503, brought 142.50. 5 at 539, brought 141. 9 at 573, brought 140.50. 8 at 599, brought 127. 6 at 620. Brought 134. Butcher cows were 30 to 74.50. Bred cows 750 to 14.75. Butcher bulls 50 to 96.50. Pairs brought 700 to 14.75. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All I got to say, it's Friday in the big town, and the weekend is here. And so, Doc, you back on with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry about that. Everything's good now. But so what have you got going on at Clinton? What have you done for the last 40 years since you said it was 40 and not 38? So you had a lot of stuff happening since then. Because I remember when I was working for the Pitzers at Foss, you started up over there. That's about the right date, back in the 80s.
Yes, sir. Yes, we Don and I came back, and Dr. Shepard joined us right off the bat, and it's been a good ride. A lot of things have changed. We're considered a mixed animal practice. That means we do companion animal. We do production animal. We've recently, my son has joined us. He is an equine surgeon, and he is now started an equine hospital, a horse hospital, and so in a way, I guess we're a fully rounded clinic that, much like the veterinary school, we have all segments and aspects of veterinary medicine going on. So we have enjoyed a lot of students coming here, learning, and it's kept us young. I guess I would just like to toot the horn for our staff. People say we've done well. Well, it's been because of my wife, been because of Dr. Shepherd, my kids, the staff here. I can't say enough for them. I get up in the morning and I go to work because I have a wonderful staff.
Well, it takes teamwork to make a business successful. It's very rare that one person can do it on their own. Are you there, Doc?
Yes, sir. I agree. I agree with you. I thought you were going to keep going.
You're the guest. You need to do all the talking. But anyway, somewhere in there, you said you went to on a scholar, or you joined the military, and you went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Where did you actually go to vet school at? At OSU.
Yes, at Oklahoma State University. Yes, sir.
Okay. Cool.
I guess I'll just tell you. People may not know this. I usually don't brag too much, but I think it's safe to brag about your kids. All three of our children have become veterinarians, and they all went to school at Oklahoma State University. We're very, very proud of them.
Oh yeah, I would be too. Matter of fact, one of the gentlemen that I work with here played soccer against one of your sons, as he was telling me earlier. So it's a small world.
Yes, sir.
So you guys do all the way from the little animal. Do you do snakes? Our new vet that we have over here, Taylor Mouse, Dr. Mouse, she said that's the only thing that she won't do in her new vet clinic there at Stockman's is snakes.
We'll try to do almost anything on emergency basis. Obviously, if it's life threatening, we'll try to help them. Yes, we've looked at snakes. We don't consider ourselves to be experts in that field, but we will do. A lot of times it's just information, getting information to them, and then getting them to the right source to if there's something more complicated than a routine thing.
Well, we're in the majority of our listening area is in rattlesnake country, and have you treated? I got two questions for you on rattlesnakes and dogs and cattle. Have you ever treated any animal for rattlesnake bites?
Well, sure. Yes, sir.
I figured you did. And I don't remember the exact name of that vaccine out that you can give dogs for. It's not really, it doesn't prevent anything from my understanding. This rattlesnake vaccine that you can give to dogs is it gives you more time to get your animal to the vet for the correct treatment. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, there's an Anacera out there. It's very expensive and limited. I would say it's very expensive. So not everybody has it. Not everybody has it available. Most of the time, if we need the Anacera, we'll send an animal on over. And we're talking about usually dogs.
Right.
It has to do with the size of the snake and the size of the animal. Rattlesnakes, as a general rule, with large animals, is not fatal. Where we do see a problem is that if a cow or a horse gets down, gets bitten in the head and face, there can be enough swelling that we can get respiratory problems. But back to your question, it's an Anacera. It's very expensive. It was very limited. We couldn't even get it for a while. So it's not the answer to all. The big answer is controlling where the swelling is, controlling shock, those kind of things afterwards. And a lot of times, Anacera is not the total answer for a rattlesnake bite.
Right. Is Well, you talk about a cow and a horse getting bit in the head. And one of the, I had a dog a few years ago get bit right on the nose by a big rattlesnake. I mean, the doc looked at it, and it was like an inch and an eighth between fang marks. That's a big rattlesnake.
Yes, sir.
And he said, getting bit in the head, the best thing that dog could have done was get bit right there where he did in the nose, because anywhere else, you know, that venom that the snake puts out gets right in their bloodstream, and it's either fatal or it's not good.
Yes, sir.
And that nose is kind of hard, and not a lot of, I guess, veins running through there. And so he said, and it was expensive to treat that dog. I mean, his within just minutes of the snake bite, his head swelled up like a basketball. His neck swelled up like a football. That's how much it swelled up in just a few minutes. And that was a big dog. It was a 60-pound dog I had. And
yes, sir.
And it took us a while to find out where the snake bite was, because he's a Griffon, and he had, you know, he's got hair on him thick as sheep. And we finally found it. The doc was just going to treat for everything. He said, we can't find the snake bite. And while I was holding his head up, a drop of blood dripped on my finger, and I said, it's right here somewhere. So we had to get, well, what's the most unique animal that you've ever treated, or anything that you've treated at the veterinarian clinic?
I'd say an elephant came to town.
Are you kidding?
With a circus, and I got to look and treat one with diarrhea. That was kind of fun. And then we got to treat some exotic animals, some camels over when I was in the desert. So those are probably, and I guess snakes, reptiles are somewhat unique. But those are few and far between.
That elephant sounds just crazy.
it was. Trying to give him oral medication was a lot of fun.
Did you have a head gate big enough for him?
I had a good trainer, and he would it was up to him to keep him in line. It was really something. Yeah, that was funny.
Did you have the tranquilizer gun ready?
No. I'd have given it to myself.
Because you didn't want to see what's coming, right? Well, Doctor, I really appreciate you being on today. And I had one text come in, and that text, all it said was, thank you, both of you, for your service. So that was a nice service, or nice quote from somebody on the text line. And I know you're very reading your article that I read. I know you're a very religious man, and if you notice today, I asked for some prayers for some troops that we lost yesterday, and for our people that are still over there. And all I can say is thank you so much for being on here, and thank you for being a veterinarian and caring about people's animals. And thank you for your service again. And you just can't thank a veteran enough for their service. And I appreciate you being on here today.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate it. I was reluctant to do this. I don't really like to raise myself up. In saying that, I do want to, when people have congratulated me, what I've said was, God has put me in the right place at the right time, and all the good that's come has been because of Him. So we do want to, I do want to give credit where credit's due, and isn't God good?
Well, thank you for coming on, and I hope I didn't throw you under the bus and put you up there, because you told me you didn't want to, and all I wanted to do was have a conversation with you. And sorry, we had a little phone malfunction there for a minute, but we got it all back, and here you and I are talking, and I want you to have a great weekend.
I will just mention one thing. Everybody, especially down southwest Oklahoma, might keep an eye on anthrax. There have been some reported anthrax cases down there. It's a very seasonal, very opportunistic thing. We're keeping our eyes on that. Hadn't been any more reported cases, but down in southwest Oklahoma and Jackson County, crossed over from Texas, anthrax in cattle can be something. So if people do find dead animals, just be sure and have that checked out, okay?
And are you going to find them dead? Is there any symptoms people can be looking out for?
sudden death. And I shouldn't even, we don't need to be an alarmist at this point.
Right.
It is down, I'm telling you, right down the Texas border, they've really contained this thing, but I will say that is high on the radar on the State Department of Agriculture right now, is to keep an eye on that.
Well, it's not alarming at all, because it's good information, because, you know, there were some reported cases in North Dakota not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, or actually last week, that I read about, and our local game wardens told me that they had a reported case down there across the Red River from Altus down in there on the Texas side. So it's not alarming. It's just something we need to keep our eye out. And plus, with all this heat, we got heat stress, and I harp on it all the time. If you have animals that are on water tanks or, just water tanks, period, you know, they need to be checked right now every day, not every other day. If you got live water and stuff, you're good to go in the ponds or the creeks. But just keep an eye out, because these cattle are hot right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, all right. Well, thank you, sir, and God bless.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jimmy.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 24th, we sold 409 cow, bulls, and kids. Thursday, August 26th, we sold 2,243 kids and feeders for a total of 2,652 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 67 to 75.5. Thin cows bring 37 to 57.50, with the bulls bringing 73 to 103. 3 to 8 year old average quality bred cows, 810 to 1010, with her 2 to 9 year old pairs, 1150 to 1650. Honor steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, $2 to 212, 4 to 450, 162 to 180, 5 to 550 steers, 164 to 173, 6 to 650, 164 to 176 and a quarter, 7 to 750, 148 to 162, 8 to 850, 145 to 155. 860 to 880 steers, 151 to 161, with 11 steers weighing 941, bringing 147.50. 4 steers weighing 1,013, bring 149. 38 steers weighing 1155, bring 132.5. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 155 to 160, whether 4 to 450 heifers, 159 to 164, 5 to 550, 146 to 148, 6 to 650, 140 to 154, 7 to 750, 135 to 153, 75, 8 to 850, 127 to 145, 9 to 950 heifers, 115 to 128. Very good market for this Tuesday, August 30th. We will have 40 bred cows, another 30 bred cows and pairs. We may get some Red Angus pairs. Give us a call to find out. They're 3 and 4 year olds with 400-pound calves. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I am back, and it sounds like Sean is back too. Sean, what's happening? How did the Chamber of Commerce deal go?
Man, it went great. They cut the ribbon right on cue. Again, celebrating 20 years here at LaDonna's Wine and Spirits.
Did you keep your fingers out of the way?
I did. I meant that did not get one of my fingers. And somebody else worked those scissors because they were right-handed. Thank you, Jimmy. He wasn't the best. Anyway,
sorry, but you opened that door.
Yeah, you wasn't afraid to walk right through it. But I got a little buddy in here, and she's trying to find some wine. So I'm going to whine for her. Oh. Yeah, it's Cassie's birthday. She's 20. What is it going to be? 28. All right. Fantastic. Again, folks, they've got a lot of giveaways going on right now. You don't have to purchase anything to be a part of some of the freebies, like the T-shirts and the koozies, the hats and such. But any $10 purchase gets you in a drawing for that wonderful set of cornhole boards. There's Maker's Mark whiskey up there.
Can you bring those home for me?
Yeah, sure, man. You know, if I can't win. You know how that works.
I know.
Radio. Then they've got a Tito's guitar. In fact, I know another young man that just came in here and got his Tito's and heard it on the radio. Any Tito's purchase, you get registered to win a nice Tito's guitar. Check out their great giant walk-in cooler and their cold craft beers. Plus, they have wines from all over, including from the state of Oklahoma. And they got the coolest bottles of liquor down here. You need to just come down. Check out the inventory they have here at 822 West 3rd Street in Elk City. It's LaDonna's Wine and Spirits and LaDonna's Cat. Catherine, they just want to say thank you to everyone that's made 20 years possible, and they're looking for a whole lot more. But again, folks, it's today and tomorrow. This celebration goes on today and tomorrow. It is a 20-year celebration weekend. So don't forget to check out the humidor. They got some nice stogies here. In fact, I'm going to be walking over there before I get out. But again, folks, it's 822 West 3rd Street in Elk City. It is the 20-year anniversary of Donna's Wine and Spirits. Come on down and help celebrate. And remember, celebrate responsibly. Back to you, Jimmy.
Hey, bring me a stogie, would you?
Yeah, you know I will. All right. That's the kind of guy I am.
Thank you. Great show.
I'll talk to you in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Well, welcome back. Let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger. And thanks again down there at Hobart for being the sponsor of My Hours Weather. And guys, I'm just not myself today. I felt like I got hit in the gut yesterday when we lost some troops. I feel pretty bad when we lose troops, period. But yesterday we lost 13 in one time, 12 Marines and one Navy Corpsman. And it just hit me in the gut. So anyway, it'll be fine. We'll get it all lined out. American always comes out on top. Right now it's 91 degrees. Heat index is 94. Dew point is 68. Humidity's 49. Winds south out of the 12 miles an hour. Gusts 18 miles an hour. High today is 94. We're almost there. Tomorrow is 92. Winds 9 to 17. Sunday 91. Monday 91. Looks like the winds are going to start calming down after tomorrow, so it'd be good golfing weather Sunday. Monday looks warm, 91. Tuesday 95. Winds will be light, and that's our long range forecast there. So last night I had a gentleman. You guys remember earlier in the week my Jimmy tip of the week? We had don't get lippy with your swather man. Well, I got lippy, and he went out there and made me a bunch of short rows. Well, he's never one to turn down a Benjamin Franklin, so he come out last night and helped rake, and he got to rake those short rows. So back at you there, RH. Thanks for helping me out last night. I started bailing about midnight. He started raking, and by 3:30, that high gear I was bailing said, no more. It's a little wet. So made a lot of hay last night, and hopefully I can get it wrapped up tonight or in the morning too. So I got a little peanut news for you, gentlemen. According to the August 2021 oil crops outlook, USDA predicts U.S. peanut growers in 2021 will average 4,183 pounds per acre, or about a 10% higher average yield than last year. As I talked about earlier this week, I went over some numbers. It was in Georgia, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama on some peanut deals. In recent U.S. peanut yield and production forecast hold up through harvest, the U.S. peanut market is on track to remain more friendly, farmer friendly, than it has been in recent years, along with shellers enjoying a solid supply of peanuts to keep moving forward. According to the August 2021 oil crops outlook, USDA predicts U.S. peanut growers in 2021 will average 4,183 pounds per acre, or 10% higher than last year. The U.S. farmers plan to harvest 1.587 million acres in 2021, or almost 2% less than last year. The forecasted average yield matched with the harvest acres will produce 3.3 million tons of peanuts, or 8.2% more than the last marketing year. According to the USDA, market demand on disappearances are about 3.31 million tons, a 6.6 increase. The domestic food usage is forecast to be up 3.1%. Exports are expected to increase by 11.5% to 800,000 tons. That's a lot of nuts. Ending stock will increase to 1.135 million tons, up from last year's 1.075 tons. These updated USD numbers were published in August issues of the Peanut Marketing News. Earlier this summer, and before these new numbers, Marshall Lamb said the sweet spot for the U.S. peanut market in 2021 crop may be around 4,100 pounds per acre average, which he's pretty close. It's 4,183, which is close to the average yielders growed in 2017. Lamb is a peanut economist and research leader for the USDA National Peanut Laboratory. Even with the higher average yield in the 3.318 million production that the U.S., the current market status quo would hold up slightly higher carrying forward than the current marketing year. That's a good thing. The carrier forward supply from 2020 to 2021 marketing years was 900,000 tons, which was a healthy carry forward number from one marketing year to the next. The carry forward is an important economic indicator for the peanut market. Early planting contracts for 2021 peanut production was between $475 and $500 a ton, and that's the best the growers have seen in years. We'll have to see if these numbers hold current. We still have a ways to go with this year's crop, but these numbers look good for the market, especially with the increased demand numbers. For the market to remain healthy throughout the supply chain this year, next growers need to be able to deliver a good-yielding, high-quality crop this year that will benefit them, the shellers, and the consumers. And I know you guys are out there saying, why are you talking about all these peanuts? Well, believe it or not, Beckham County and Caddo County in Oklahoma have a lot of peanuts, where the one and two peanut, there's actually only three counties in Oklahoma that grow peanuts. And I don't want my peanut buddies out there to feel like I leave them out and we'll be just all right. So there's some peanut news for you gentlemen out there. Greer County producers are urged to consider NAP protection coverage. You guys are encouraged to review the USDA crop risk prediction offices options, including federal crop insurance and non-insured crop disaster NAP coverage. With the following crops in Greer County have a NAP application due by August 31st. This is the last time I'll talk about this, so you guys need to get a hold of this. Probably in every county. The Greer County is the only one that sent me any information on this. Alfalfa, barley, canola, cool season grass, oats, rye, triticale, and wheat. NAP offers high levels of coverage from 50 to 65% of expected production in 5% increments at 100% of the average market price. Producers of organics and crops market directly to consumers also may exercise the buy-up option to obtain NAP of 100% of the average market of the coverage levels and between 50 and 65% of expected production. Beginning, underserved, veterans and limited resource farmers are now eligible for free catastrophic level coverage. For all coverage level, the NASP service fee is the lesser of $325 per crop or $825 per producer per county, not to exceed $1,950 for their producer when farming interests in multiple counties. Apache Auction Market, special cow sale, Saturday, September 11th. Apache Auction Market, Apache, Oklahoma, sale starts at noon. They're selling bred cows and pairs off of local ranchers. For more information or to consign your herd, call Apache Auction Market, 888-926-9696. That's kind of our number around here, but it don't have a 225 there. Visit their website at stockmanoklahoma.com. If you guys starting Monday, if anybody's got any bull sales or cow sales going on that they want people to know about it, I'm going to let you text it in starting Monday. Don't text it in right now because we get hundreds of texts here on this deal, and it's hard to go back and read all that, but I was just giving you a heads up. Well, as you know, Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now. Call Brandon Hickey for any of your needs. If you're needing some calves or anything real quick, he'll get them bought for you. And then Monday, we'll have the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And Tuesday, I will give you a full report on all that's going on in there at both his sale barns. Give you a full report, see how the cattle market's doing. The last 3 to 4 weeks, it has been slowly creeping up, which is a really good deal for us, the producers out here. So it's all been good. The USDA issued new guidance regarding how it would enforce the Packers Stockyard Act in light of the final rule issued on December 10, 2020. In a continuing effort to modernize and enforce the 100-year authority to the full extent of the law, the enforcement policy in form of frequently asked questions offers insight into the direction the agency looks to change and how it holds market participants accountable in the livestock sector, but also receive mixed reviews from the industrial participants. Since 1921, the Packers and Stockyard Act has protected fair trade practices, financial integrity, and competitive markets for livestock, meat, and poultry, says Secretary of Agriculture Tom Balsack. The new enforcement policies follow USDA's July announcement that it will be issuing three proposed rules to support enforcement of the Packers and Stockyard Act. The proposed rules will strengthen the USDA's enforcement of unfair and deceptive practices and undue preferences. Address the poultry grower tournament system, and make it easier for the USDA to bring enforcement actions under that act. The most frequently asked questions will help strengthen Packers and Stockyards Act enforcement while the USDA completes these new rulemakings. Some of these, I read through some of these questions, these frequently asked questions, and it's pretty cool. I'm going to go over it. I got a couple minutes here before I go off, but some of these are: when a farmer faces discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, religion, age, disability, political beliefs, sexual orientations, or marital or family status. When a farmer faces retaliations for participating in an association or speaking to the media, Congress, or government agencies. And there's a bunch of them. You guys will have to read that article. It's on the USDA article. What a great week. And thank you for joining me today. Keep our veterans in mind and in our prayers. You guys have a great weekend, and God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.
completing the mission. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. President Biden today saying the U.S. is stepping up security measures in Afghanistan following yesterday's attack in Kabul that killed more than a dozen U.S. service members.
Mission